Hey everybody, welcome back to Mixtape. This is Bonnie, your host. This week on Mixtape, I'm really excited about this interview. John Nato, guitar player from Dirty Honey. And guess what? They're going to be playing in three different places in New England. You have no excuse to get out there and see them. You got to get out there and see them. I'll be seeing them on the 27th at Aura, and I hope to see you there too. I hope you enjoy our conversation. First, it's really nice to meet you. I know how busy you guys are out there on the road, and I'm really looking forward to this. I'm excited that y'all will be over here on the East Coast.
Me too.
Pretty soon, right? And so You're going to be able to see probably some people you know when you get up here to Maine, right? Which is always exciting for to come home, right? So tell me, John, tell me a little bit about you and how you ended up in LA with Dirty Honey. Let's start there.
Just sort of typical, dreamer moves to LA kind of thing. I actually followed an ex-girlfriend out here who was a musician. And then in that time, I met Mark first. And, he had kind of like this cover band thing, but he also had some originals. They had made like an EP thing. Mm-hmm. I started playing in that band. And it was really, most of it was covers, but we were always, tinkering and getting together when we could, but it was a bit of a part-time nature kind of thing, to be honest, like back then. Everybody was busy trying to be professionals around LA, gigging, and he worked in the film industry and stuff. So we'd get together and write songs, and slowly as the lineup changed and became more inspiring, to be quite honest, just in a rock and roll way. I think like the first round of musicians he had weren't really rock guys. They were good musicians. As the lineup got more inspiring and got filled more with people who were like, actually would want to do rock band instead of just play a cover gig on a Friday night and collect their $100. That's when we were able to really start making moves, and the rest is kind of history, but it's sort of something that's a little unique to LA in the musician scene that we were in, where we really, the musicians we knew were like more of the professional kind, mm-hmm. Because we weren't in high school anymore. We were post college. So it was like, we were mixed around the professional world. So a lot of those people were not as eager to sort of throw caution to the wind and put it all into a band that had nothing going on, starting from the ground up. A lot of people move here to like take their skills and try to play for a huge artist, and a lot of them get those gigs and it's great and all that. But that was sort of the difficult challenge in the first couple years of mixing up the lineup. There are a lot of people that pass through, they kind of stuck around for a small time or not, or maybe they only just played the cover gigs. But then once we got the first lineup with Corey, that was the complete, all right, everyone said they want to do it kind of thing.
That's awesome. So you totally just ended up out there because you're like following a dream. Went out with the girl. It's always about a girl, right? There's always some element of that. Some element of that always makes sense to why we do what we do.
I say that to distinguish. I hadn't been a kid who was like, LA's my dream city. Mm-hmm. I think I didn't really know, to be honest.
Yeah.
I didn't know if I fit in Nashville, even though I grew up around rednecks. Maine rednecks aren't real ones.
Mainers.
Yeah, they're Mainers. They want to be in with the country guys, but it's just different. And then, New York I actually did try it out for us like 6 months, but it just was a lot. Living in the city is that's a whole nother realm. Mm-hmm. And also just, I don't know what the music scene is there really. It just didn't seem, there's a ton of musicians, but I didn't really know what it was. And when I visited LA, I was like, oh, okay. There's like rock and roll culture is here. It's still
awesome.
Here.
Yeah. That's awesome. So you're in Maine, right? What part of Maine? Like Northern Maine, Central Maine, Southern Maine?
Northern Maine, like, okay. Yeah, so northern overexposure.
Yeah, so if you're way far up there, there's maybe two radio stations. So where did your influences come from? What were you listening to, and where were you going to see your shows so that you could find out that, hey, I want to play guitar and be a rock star?
Well, I actually was born in Massachusetts, so I didn't move to Maine until I was 11, so I was already playing guitar by then.
Oh, cool.
But, you know, I didn't see shows when I was a kid. I was very much sheltered. Everything was all, you know, through TV and, you know, kind of internet and lessons. I didn't take a lot of lessons, though. I took lessons in the very beginning, kind of got me going.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a knack for it right away. My friend's dad, a friend I had at the time, I was 8. So, like, his dad played in, like, a punk band or something. And he taught me my first chords, and I just immediately took to it. I mean, was doing it right away. I was like, oh, I get that. I just got it. Like, I understood. I just had it. So when I first took lessons, I was kind of like the kid there. You know what I mean? Like, at this little lessons place, we're like, oh, this is the animal. This is the, you can show him anything and he can learn how to do it. You know?
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that throughout my teen years I became like the virtuoso or anything like that, but yeah, that was kind of like how that really began. And then we moved to Maine, and it was really like, I think the junior high years were probably the lower amount of playing guitar for a minute there, because we were just in the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I took lessons with this one guy for a short period of time, but it was flaky, the whole situation. So at that period of time, it was passionate. I shouldn't say that. Like, in that period of time, it was like heavy Stevie Ray Vaughan, heavy AC/DC, heavy Zep. Junior high was like those bands on constant rotation. But the real passion for it, for doing it, like, oh, I get the goosebumps from doing it now. It's not just listening and all that. Mm-hmm. Was high school, jamming with like my first really good drummer that I ever met. And he was from out of town, and he was like this complete punk rocker with like Elmer's glue in his hair, and like skipped school all the time, and had like this kind of like a sketchy home life, but was like down to play drums all of the time. And that's when I started really getting off from playing. And that's when I was like, I feel like it found me more than, it was no longer like show and tell, you know. When I was in junior high, it was like, yeah, I can play Sweet Child of Mine, the solos too. But okay, and then you just put it down and have Kool-Aid at the birthday party and talk to a girl who likes you. But it wasn't, yeah, the obsessive part happened once I really started playing with that kid. But yeah, because I lived up there, I wasn't going to a lot of concerts, you know. They didn't exist.
No, they don't. You're absolutely right.
Far and few between, for sure.
Yeah, I'm sure. So when it comes to, you talked a little bit about what you learned how to play and some of those influences, but when it comes to your music now, how do you collaborate with the other guys in your band then to write the way that you guys write and have that really, you have a distinct sound that's very rock and roll. But in the same breath, there's people that'll compare you, right, to these other sounds. How do you guys stay distinct away from that and keep going forward? Because you guys are really hot right now, right? Like, you're touring and you're put out this album, which actually your EP that was released in 2019, that was actually on my birthday, which is kind of cool. Yeah. And so, but like,
is that like November 18th or something, or November? No, that was March 18th.
March
22nd.
March 17th. March 22nd. Yeah. So now you know my birthday forever.
Yep.
So, but how do you guys put together your very distinct sound? Like, what does collaboration look like for you guys when you're writing?
You know, it has taken on different forms, of course, because we've had a drummer change. Mm-hmm. And also because of COVID.
Yeah.
I think the first album, the EP that came out on your birthday, that was a lot of that was that was a totally mixed bag, a very small mixed bag. It was only six songs, but Break You, Scars were riffs that I made myself with like drums and bass, you know, on my own, just in the stratosphere. I never even thought those would actually become Dirty Honey riffs. I always thought they were too heavy, but Mark eventually wrote to them. So that was cool.
Awesome.
He wrote Down the Road on his own. That was an old one. I had known him and he knew that he had that song. Like when I first met him. And then Heartbreaker was a Justin riff that kind of essentially those two saw most of that song through. But we had never even performed it or even played it once through with the chorus until we recorded it.
Oh, wow.
So we're sitting there listening back, realizing the magic of the song for the first time, literally. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, this is what it is. This is awesome. When I'm Gone was my riff. And really, I wrote all the music to that. And Mark wrote all the lyrics. I wrote some of the melody. But that was a me and Mark's collaboration that was part of that slow chip away during those off years where, you know, we had just gotten Justin and we, you know, just sort of like musical chairs in the drummer seat. And then COVID put a weird thing on it too, because all of a sudden we were forced to kind of be by ourselves. So I went back to that old way of like doing the drums and the bass to get the ideas across to the guys. So that's how California Dreaming came about. Like most of the music was me by myself there. Also The Morning was pretty much like that. It was kind of me by myself. Gypsy was one that came about. I wrote the riff and I just kept playing it at sound checks. We would play it and everyone was like, that is kick ass. You know, and we just, that slowly happened in real time. Same thing with Tied Up, that happened at sound checks. Same thing with we haven't played it in so many years. I forget that. It's not bad. I forget the title of that song. And then Can't Find the Breaks, I think two of those riffs, Satisfied and I Won't Take Me Alive, those were also me by myself. But a lot of the rest of that was us at sound checks.
That's awesome.
And then a 3-week like writing binge right before we went to the studio. So we were on tour, you know, kind of like trying to keep it going. And then and then we knew we were going to Australia and we just really pounded the pavement here at my home studio and saw that one through to the finish line as a quartet. And that was really the first effort doing it with Jaden. And because, you know, Corey had left the band. So Jaden really proved to be a great collaborator in the room. Justin and I already knew that. We had collaborated with him on different projects before. Mm-hmm. But it was relieving to see that Mark saw that, you know, and felt that. So it's kind of been a mixed bag is the short answer.
That's awesome.
If you want to cut all that out, it's been a mixed bag. You know? Here's the short version. Here's the radio.
Let's
edit.
Just get right to that.
A lot of the songs I've written the riffs to on my own, but there's a handful where we saw them through together, and then there's a few of the ballads Mark usually wrote by himself, like Another Last Time, Down the Road. Coming Home, Justin plays the acoustic finger picking style. He had that whole chord progression done. That's so awesome. All I did was, Mark wasn't really biting yet on it. So I gave it the right life that he would like. Mm-hmm. You know, I put like the slide on it. I added like a rhythm guitar, kind of added some sort of down home feel to it. And then, you know, Justin came over and we did that together. And we both left going like, okay, now he's going to get it.
Yeah. So you talked about a few things. I did want to ask you, because I think everybody who plays guitar is interested in you as a musician, wants to know what kind of gear you're using and what you're currently like really, really like using, things maybe I was going to ask you maybe something you stay away from. Like you tried, and you're like, yeah, that's not going to work for me.
Oh, okay. Well, what I really like using is this current combination of amps I've got. I've got a original 1987 Silver Jubilee Marshall. And I combine that with, it's just a reissue 50 watt Plexi, or the, ironically, the name of it is 1987 X, but that's not the year. And that's just from 2018. I just happen to like the way that one particularly operates. I've played others, and they kind of all have a little different quality. This one has a real rhythmic, full sort of chug-lug thing that you can dig into, but is still classic rock. And the combination of the two, I think, gives me a nice, right, riding that line sound of really sizzling hot from the Jubilee and rock and roll from the Plexi. You know, and I obviously love playing Les Pauls in this band. I actually do love playing a lot of kinds of guitars, but in this band, being the one guitarist, it just always, so far, it has really felt right to have that full-bodied, aggressive sound that comes out of Les Paul. I like vintage voice pickups for this band, and then I like to push the amp really hard. I do like hot pickups, though, but not like metal, you know? What else? I'm actually pretty excited. So on this, it's a little product plug. I'm pretty excited for this tour. I'm going to bring out, for coming home, I'm bringing out my National Resophonic guitar. It's like a steel resonator, the old Bluesman kind of axe. I'm going to play slide on that. But I've got Universal Audio gave me a bunch of their amp simulator pedals. It's like the whole thing in one shot. And they've got this, they've got this Fender Twin pedal. And they've also got this thing called the Aux Stomp, which is like a you can do everything there. You can choose mics, compression, delay, reverb. So I'll have that little rig just for that guitar, and it sounds angelic. Like I was testing it out last night, and it's going to be so easy because my other option was to bring out another little vintage amp, and I didn't want to ruin it, you know? So I'm really excited to use that gear. Universal Audio, they really do. A few of these simulator pedals are pretty amazing. I actually did the demo for the Marshall Plexi one, which is called the Lion. And it was amazing. I mean, it was and Dweezil Zappa and Phil X. And we honestly kind of forgot we weren't playing an amp after 2 or 3 hours. Like, it was crazy.
That's cool. Yeah. So the other things that you said, you talked about soundchecks, Australia tour, stuff like that. So you guys have been really busy on the road. Do you think there's any differences? And I know you've been over to Europe as well. I will tell you that I looked at your Instagram, and Mark's Instagram is kind of just like looking around, most specifically at your European dates, right? And do you think the audiences, or how do you think the audiences differ from the US to overseas? You find there's any difference?
That's a good question. I think there might be a general more excitement in Europe for rock. You know, there's a little bit more of a collected cool to Americans, ironically, at least, you know, by comparison. But I will say what they both have in common is you have your cities that go nuts and you have your cities that don't, you know. Or in Europe, it's more like countries. So
yeah, that's a good
the Netherlands show up in good numbers, for example, but they're very, very well-mannered human beings. They stand and they clap and then they wait. You know, it's almost like a Japanese audience.
It's different. Yeah, it's different.
But then, you know, we play Milan and it's bananas. Like people are hanging over the guardrail and stuff and just screaming, you know. Yeah. So it's a, you know, we have that in America. You have your places in America that just go off, and then you have your places that don't.
Do you have a favorite place that you guys have played so far?
In Europe or America?
Wherever. Like someplace that stands out to you and you're like, oh, that was so cool. Because I saw somebody's Instagram and I was like, oh, that's a moment right there. That's really cool. So I have one for you if you don't.
Okay, sure. Yeah. Well, different. It's different. Different places for different reasons. I think opening for the Black Crowes at Red Rocks was amazing because
that was the one. That was the one I was going to say.
Yeah. Because people look at Red Rocks as a part of the reason to go. So every band that plays there is selling above the capacity they could do everywhere else. And everyone shows up on time for the opener. So we came out to the full place. And that's rare as an opener. I mean, we played to a full arena, a Red Rocks arena of standing O rock fans, you know. That was pretty amazing. That's always going to be a standout. And usually my answer isn't opening slots, you know, as far as the performance, because we usually are so early, you know. Favorite place to play, though. Well, we love playing Milan because they've always been wild. Mm-hmm. Actually most places in Italy, really, really great audiences. London is actually really growing. Every show we've played in London was pretty wild and pretty fun. And the audience keeps growing there, so that's pretty great. Paris, actually, totally off the chain. Netherlands, just really top-notch facilities. All of them are state fund. They have this, like, stipend for the arts. So it's, like, very nice, very well-staffed, catering. It's super cushy, like, great green rooms with record players and top to bottom. And we sell well there, so... That's great. And in America, it's a lot of time. Kansas City early on, great rock and roll town.
Yeah, for sure.
Any place we played in Michigan, always wild. Michigan's wild for rock.
Really?
Yeah. Yep. Weird places like was it Huntington, Alabama? Some place in Alabama you wouldn't expect. Just like 450 people show up on a Monday ready to just be nuts.
That's great.
Like that kind of stuff, you know. Of course, some, you know, we've done well in LA as well. We've had some great shows here. One of my favorite shows we ever played was right the last show before COVID. We sold out the El Rey.
Oh, wow. And
that was really special, for sure.
For sure.
There's so many places, you know. You always like to be in New York. I wish New York was more of a rock town, the city itself, but, anytime you get to be there, that's always great. That's not so much the show though. Yeah, I don't know.
That's awesome. So, I have just a couple more questions because we've talked for a pretty long time and I know you've got another appointment today. So a couple of quick questions to ask you.
I'll make the answers quick. Here we go. Speed round.
Speed round. Now I forgot what I was going to ask you. So if you could play with any musician, dead or alive, who would it be?
John Bonham.
That's awesome. Why?
Next. Why?
Yeah.
Because when I was a kid, the thing that really sparked my interest, my passion for playing guitar was my mom's copy of Led Zeppelin 2, which I still have here. You know, he was a huge part of my attraction to the band, his sound, mm-hmm. his feel, his power, his musicality, how it still fit with the band. It's just a top notch thing that they had going on, even with all the thievery.
That's great. Then tell me five songs you think you can't live without.
Five songs I can't live without. Ooh, that's tough. Well, I guess I'll just go down the list. Like, Stairway to Heaven was the first involved guitar piece I ever learned. So, you know, that has to be in there. So was Welcome to the Jungle. That's got to be in there. So was Back in Black, the song. Songs I can't live without. Songs, wow. That's so tough. Yeah, geez.
You can name one of your own if you wanted, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be living as well without Rolling Sevens. Yeah.
I was just listening to that one, too.
That's my favorite rock and roll composition of mine, I think.
Really?
I know that when, yeah, that I've done. I just love it. It just grows from the beginning to the, and I love the chorus riff. I love the chorus. I love it. It's just, I think it's, it got shafted by COVID. It was at number three when everything shut down. So it could, I think it would have went number one.
Right?
I think we'd have two number ones. I think
that's
everyone,
amazing. Yeah.
I think everyone thinks that, but
yeah. That's amazing. But you got your whole life ahead of you. So what, tell me what's coming up next for Dirty Honey. What are you guys looking forward to?
Well, we're looking forward to starting this tour on Thursday.
Yep.
First show Friday the 13th, East Moline. Some of you may remember that from the Blues Brothers. That's
yep.
where Jake picks up Elwood, or Elwood picks up Jake. I forget which one it is, but yeah, I'm just excited to be back on the road again. We're really excited about the openers. They're called the band Feel. They're very Southern rock, and they play their asses off. So it's always nice to have to know that the package is a nice night for our fans, start to finish. We're excited about that. And, you know, and then we've already got instrumentals of a lot of ideas brewing. So that's exciting, of course. And, you know, life is always a mixture of exciting and terrifying. So,
that's what keeps us going, right? Good
yeah, it keeps it going. The excitement of like, what will we come up with next? Is going to be what we'll be looking forward to after this tour. But it's a nice long tour. We're getting to touch a lot of markets we didn't. I'm very excited to play in the Northeast because we didn't last tour. And so I'll see a lot of family there and a lot of old friends. And
Cool. So that's great. So thank you for being here with me today. I know you're going to be in Boston. Yeah. You'll be at Wally's in New Hampshire, and then you guys will be at the Aura in Maine. I'm also a professional live concert photographer, so I'll be there taking your picture.
Nice.
I'm really looking forward to.
I know what my fifth song is.
Okay.
It's totally out of left field, but it's these guys. It's Fish.
Oh, good one. Which
one? It's the song Reba. It totally starts out like a Looney Tunes song, like a kid's song. It sounds so goofy, but then it goes into like this like Frank Zappa, you know, kind of thing, like kind of like Alice falling down the hole, like, and it's just like, it just, it's super complicated, and then it just goes into this jam, and that jam was such a vibe for me for so many years. They just kind of like overstimulated you with all of this information, then they just cool out and they take forever, and it's just such a vibe. So that was a really pivotal song for me. It was the first time that I ever heard a guitar player take a solo where he doesn't just come out of the gate and just keep hitting you over the head like I do every night, you know, like it just like sprinkle in, he like let the groove sit, and by the end it's like full shred fest, but it was like this big crescendo, and like as like a 16-year-old, I just never heard anyone do that. And I was kind of like, you know, wow, that plus this weed I just smoked is blowing my
That's awesome, dude. It was so nice to meet you.
Yeah, likewise.
I'm looking forward to seeing you guys in a couple weeks. Good luck over the next weeks when you get here to Maine. The weather's beautiful. Fall will be ready for you guys when you get here.
Awesome.
All right. So all right, have a great day.
We'll see you at Aura.
Thanks. Take care, John. Bye.
Thanks again to John for being here with us this week on Bonnie's Mixtape. Dirty Honey, Can't Find the Breaks Tour. Can't miss it. You have no no excuse. You've got until the middle of November to catch them. At least three dates here in New England, like I mentioned, in a couple weeks at the Aura in Maine. But for now, you'll have to hear them or check them out at dirtyhoney.com. You can also find them on all the socials. Thanks again, John.